Tonight, I want to just give God glory. Lord, we just give you glory. We give you honor tonight. You are so worthy of all praise. There's nobody like you. Nothing's like you. We thank you for our point of introduction to you when we became aware of your goodness, Lord, of your mercy and love. Lord, I praise you and thank you that there's people here going to have a point of contact tonight. Lord, a deeper awareness of who you are and, Lord, how we're to live. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, I am from the great state of New York, back in the northeast of America. I've been here 13 years. Kind of crazy. I've been in Flame Tree 6 years. I came back when we were called Nambour Baptist. And in my state, we have an interesting phenomena that happens. I like weather. I like storms. I'm a kind of guy that probably could be a storm chaser if I wanted to be. I love to go out in thunderstorms and lightning and just kind of stand in it and look at it and get my chair and, if I have to, get a blanket if it's cold or whatever. But we have this phenomenon that happens in my part of the world, and I actually named one of my dogs after this phenomenon. It's very rare. It happens about 6 times in the entire United States. Even rarer around the world because we have ideal conditions in the winter for this phenomenon to happen. This phenomenon is called thunder snow or snow thunder. It's when you have a blizzard or you have snow and it's very hard to see, visibility becomes low, and a thunder and lightning storm are in the midst of the snow. It's a very freaky, awe-inspiring phenomena. Tonight I'm talking about restoring the awe of God in your life. I believe God is positioning the church like never before to regain an awe, to regain an amazement, to gain a position where we actually marvel. I think it's very interesting that Hollywood, American movies, is picking up Marvel comics movies. We're in a season that God really wants the church to marvel at his supernatural power, which we're going to start to see like never before. And I believe that we're embarking in the next few weeks ahead. We are on a timeline. We're in a collision course where we can consciously sit tonight and say, you know what? I want to be a person that has more awe stirred up in my life, because things are going to happen where you are just going to stand in awe at what God not only does in the world scene, but through your hands, through the local scene. So I just want to show this clip. This guy's name is Jim Cantone. He's a weatherman. He doesn't swear in this video. I just put in a precursor out there, but he comes pretty close. And I want to show what this phenomena can do, even taking professionals unaware about being in the midst of what thunder snow looks like. Are we ready to show that? With volume, because we got to have volume on this. I love this. This guy is kind of near where I'm from. You'll understand maybe the way I'm tweaked. Okay. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, I heard it was a bus now, plus cars are oh! Listen to that! Son of a... That's unbelievable! Oh, my goodness! Holy smoke! Just incredible! Robbie! Twice in one storm, baby! Holy smoke!
And if you've never been in the awe of something, I think he just takes the cake. It's amazing. Huh. Holy smoke. I wonder if that's what the priest said at the altar when they got knocked to their butt. and couldn't stand to minister before the Lord because it happened in 1 Kings. Holy smoke. If you reflect back on your life, I wonder if there are points of contact in your life with God where you're in awe. There's no physical word description that can articulate the awe or wonder that stirs in a person's heart that meets a supernatural God in a supernatural encounter for the first time. I remember praying with this one girl in Melbourne. It's a church that is affiliated with Bethel. It was about, boy, I don't know, time is crazy, isn't it? What year is it? Anyway, I don't know, it was years ago. And she was, you know, off the street. She had wandered in this, you know, meeting. And so, you know, I'm the minister, here I am. They've flown me down to minister, so I start ministering. And she just says, look, I just want you to pray with me. I just see others wanting prayer. Just pray with me. I said, okay. So I just prayed a very gentle prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for her. And she's swearing on the way down to the floor. Now, she's never experienced the presence of God. She's like, holy, 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 you know. And I won't finish it. But anyway, she's going down on the ground and just freezes on the ground. Like in a trance-like state for an hour. And gets up and we're like, what was that? What? That's the Lord. That's the Lord? Yeah, well, he kind of does some supernaturally wonderful things to encounter your heart. And I think that you're a person that's been racing against time. And God just kind of wanted to arrest you and give you a time out and let you know he's real and his presence. And her vernacular, you know, wasn't probably church appropriate, but yet it was so genuine out of her heart and expression. She got gloriously saved. Gloriously baptized in the Holy Spirit, water baptized, became a part of that church, brought others into that environment where they experienced the presence of God as well. A reading in the Confession of St. Patrick. I like Irish things. That's my heritage. I like St. Paddy. I think he did some amazing things. I think some things are blown out of proportion now that we're hundreds of years past St. Patrick. But I really believe there's enough accounts of certain things where he saw some divine appointed encounters with Druid priests, where he saw whole villages saved by the power of Jesus Christ and the demonstration of Holy Spirit, where a nation was transformed, where there are no snakes, and it's definitely accounted that there were snakes at one time in Ireland. His confession is this: therefore, be amazed, or in awe, or marvel. You great and small who fear God, and you men of God, eloquent speakers, listen and contemplate. Who was it summoned me, a fool from the midst of those who appear wise and learned in the law and powerful in rhetoric and in all things? Me, truly wretched in this world. He inspired before others that I could be, if I would such a one who, with fear and reverence and faithful and faithfully, without complaint, would come to the people to whom the love of Christ brought me and gave me in my lifetime, if I should be worthy to serve them truly and with humility. I believe God uses certain things. I believe God uses certain timelines. I believe he uses people. I believe he uses animals and elements and weather phenomena. I believe he uses holidays and things to give illustration sometimes to his plan. I believe that there's going to be something released March 8th this year. That correlates with when the clocks will spring ahead where I'm from. We change our clocks, an hour back, an hour ahead. I believe that there's going to be a springing ahead this year, correlating with North America's springing ahead March 8th. I believe that God's given me some insight, you know, that March is the third month of the year, and I believe that the third book of the New Testament in Luke 8 shows me some things, and I want to look at Luke 8. Because in Luke 8, there's amazing things that happen that actually release the marvel of God in man's life. and they're all different scenarios. Look, I think God's going to allow and release some different scenarios in your life in the coming days ahead that's going to release an awe of God once again for some. Or continue the marvel of God or the amazement of God. I think that when we're in awe of God, it releases Him to release more things to be awed by. I believe there's a circle, there's a wheel within a wheel. I think one, you know, encounter where we respond in awe, I think He gets tickled at and wants to give us another and another and another and another. I think it's like sowing the awe back into the soil that produces the fruit of awe. Genesis 28:17. We see Jacob, he goes night-night in a certain place. He's tired. He takes a rock. He puts it as a pillow. He doesn't understand that it's an important rock. That's one of the sacred stones of his forefather, using a place of worship and acknowledgement to the Creator. And it says, he was afraid and said, how awesome. He's in marvel. He's in wonderment. He's amazed at this God in this place. He just has this dream with angels ascending and descending. An encounter that he can't deny was not a dream. He actually finds himself in a spiritual realm place that he can't describe. God in his mercy gives it to him like a dream so he doesn't probably freak out. And he says, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He calls that place Bethel, the house of God. The word amazed can mean a startled emotion. It can mean wonder or awe, astonished. It actually can be a joyous surprise. It can mean astonishment, but mixed full of perplexity. When the awe of God hits a person, you don't have understanding released to you in that moment. You have perplexity. What is this? How did this happen? What is this magnitude? Who is this God that I serve? We see the disciples doing plenty of miracles in the New Testament. The New Testament church, the church that you and I are part of today. Our brothers and sisters that went before, they got chosen to God's glory and to their credit, to be a part of the foundational platform of the church that we celebrate today. We're part of that same church. And they see amazing miracles done by their hands, but it says they were amazed by the miracles performed by their own hands. Have you ever been freaked out by God because He just used you in a way that freaks you out? You say, oh, I'm not supposed to be freaked out. I'm supposed to have everything together, PD. I'm supposed to have everything. I'm supposed to just be cool, man, keep my hair in the place. I'm not supposed to sweat. Don't worry about it. I got this. I'm actually supposed to pretend like I know what's going on. That's the way I'm supposed to live. No, you're not. You're actually supposed to live childlike. And if you look childlike in the face, there is a awe and a wonder on a child's face at the very simplest of things. Children are so quick to respond. They don't know, because there's a certain age where here is the number one question on a little person's lips. Why? 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 I don't know. Why? I don't know. Why? I don't know. Why? Ask your mother, please. I don't know. Right? Childlike, being in a position where everything's in awe. It's a marveled world. Christ's miracles, His teaching, His character, His divine personality. On those who saw and heard Him and were made aware of His supernatural power. It says in Matthew 12:23, all the multitudes were amazed. All the multitudes were amazed at this Jesus. Can I say that there's going to be a growing number of multitudes that are going to be amazed at the Jesus that you serve? at the Jesus you carry, at the Jesus you release, at the Jesus that you speak out of. Acts 2:7, they were all amazed and marveled. You thought Marvel Comics coined that word. It's a God word. Isn't it interesting that the world wants a superhero? A world needs somebody that has supernatural powers and can defeat evil, that they can, you know, save the day. And we spend billions of dollars buying comic books and coloring books and movies and DVDs and CDs about trying to find a connection with this superhero. Yeah, we have him. He's with us. He's in us. He's around us. He's made us. His name's Jesus. And he's created humanity that believe in him, who have received him in relationship, to act like him, to actually be superheroes on the face of the earth, destroying the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And guess what your MO is? Guess what your job is? To destroy the works of the devil by the power of Jesus working in and through your life. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. To him the highest praise, you just said. There's three words in the Hebrew which correlate with the word amazed. There's 10 words in the Greek that correlate with that word. We are not going to exegete those words. Everyone say, thank God. Luke chapter 8, verse 25, it says, they were fearful and amazed, saying, they were fearful and amazed. Can you be fearful and amazed? Yeah, you can be, because here they are, people are fearful, but they're amazed. They're marveling, but they don't understand. They have no grid. They don't have a concept. Jesus says, hey, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what's coming. And in some part, we're seeing some pretty tremendous things. Pretty amazing things. You know, there's food multiplication. There's resource multiplication. There's money multiplication that's going on around the globe right now. There's people that are going to the pantry, no food, praying, open it up, it's full. It's happening. There's no meat, and then all of a sudden there's semi-trailers of meat. Happened in Iraq with the bishop of Iraq. Right? There's not enough prime rib, all of a sudden they got too much prime rib. Happened in Bethel, California, feeding the homeless in Bill Johnson's ministry. There's no money. All of a sudden, there's money that shows up in people's Bible, like Ray Mala's mother every day found money in her Bible, opened it up like manna, but it was Vanuatu dollars. That just happened months ago. Every day, money appearing in her Bible. So I'm not talking about things that happened 2,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, or 7,000 years ago. I'm talking about things that are happening today and that God wants us to stand amazed at, that he wants to do more, but he wants us to be childlike. There's a response that God wants us to have that prepares us to see more. Hallelujah. Do you want more? I want more. Hey, there's definitely more coming. I want to thank God for what I've had, but I want more. It means to regard. This word amaze means to regard with amazement. Its suggestion is it actually begins the person to speculate on what's happened. It stirs us to say, why? Who? How? All those answers are found in Jesus. It's a word that means it astonishes beyond our senses. It actually is the word awestruck. Now, America uses this word awesome way too much. It actually has deadened the word far beyond any bridge back to its original astonished holding of definition it should have carried. But God is restoring a marvel. He's restoring a amazement in the hearts of the believers. Acts 3:10, they were all filled with wonder and ecstasy, is the word used there in amazement. They were filled with wonder and ecstasy. It actually means they were stunned to the point of being dumbfounded. Have you ever seen a person in shock? Sometimes it's not pretty. You have to get blankets and cover them and give them comfort and support because they can't put two words together. Usually with terrible events. Too gruesome and too pointed to talk about. But there's an encounter with God that can leave you dumbfounded. There's a presence of God that takes away any attempt at English or German or Nevan or Fijian to articulate. A couple years ago, my wife and I had this phenomena happening in our house, which was the cloud that came in. This cloud would come in to the point where there was a lounge on either side of the room. You could not see the person on the other side sitting in the lounge. There's no words to describe that. That is very cool. Please stay. Wow. Why are you here? What are we doing here? Why are you here like this? All those things stir, but really enjoying the moment with no words. I wish that happened daily. It doesn't happen daily. I wish I could find money in my Bible every day. It doesn't happen to me. Praise God for those that have that. It's not to stimulate and stir a competition. It's not to stimulate that, you know, a one-upmanship, that you tell a story and then I find another story that one up. That's not the point. The point is to stir into a cooperation where we celebrate the victories in each other's life, what releases more victories in each other's life, and we can celebrate that in true church, a position of brothers and sisters. So it's not kind of, we're not at the pub tonight just telling one after another fishing stories. How big, the one that got away or the one that we landed? The word ecstasy means bewilderment. Have you ever been bewildered by the power of God in your life, or you've seen it in someone else's life? It means to be amazed. It can actually stimulate a trance, like that girl that swore on the way down, and all of a sudden, all of her faculties, she's stunned like a stunned mullet. She ain't going nowhere. She had like the weight of 50,000 people. You couldn't lift her. You couldn't move her. It was like she was super glued to the floor. And she was, her faculty, she was gone. She was like a shell of just the body there. God was doing such a deep work, but she was in a trance. You know, there's this amazing story about a woman named Mary Woodworth Eder that at a meeting where she was preaching and she freezes in the middle of preaching for 3 days, she actually became the phenomenon. People were so amazed, like, dude, you got to come and see this frozen lady. She was preaching in the middle of this tent meeting. Come on. The numbers are crazy that came and saw her. Do you know after 3 days, she started to pick up right where she left off? It's documented. You know, how about in John G. Lake's church? You know, back in Washington, where the women in the choir are actually lifting off the ground because the Spirit of God's lifting them, and the husbands are holding their ankles so they won't touch the ceiling. Documented. And I got to tell you something. There's probably a few stunned mullets. Pastor, we'd like a comment. This is CNN Channel 7. Thanks, Pastor. Obviously, he's overcome with amazement, you know. It means to cause a shock. It actually means to disturb the mind. Hallelujah! We need our minds disturbed tonight. We need there to be an invasion in between the ears tonight, the gray matter, to become blue. The color of revelation needs to invade the color of death. And there's a war between the blue and the gray. It's been prophesied for 40 years that there'd be a civil war that would come. I believe we haven't even started it yet. I believe when God shows up on the scene and there's going to be some amazing, miraculous things that people are going to stand in amazement in, others are going to stand in judgment to. Here's a prophetic word of encouragement to you. Don't be caught on the side of judging what is God. So the gray matter Man's thinking, stinking thinking, religion, trying to figure it out. That's not rational. That's not practical. Hallelujah, it's not practical. Hallelujah, it's not rational. Hallelujah, we're being led by the cloud and the fire and the pillar and the one who is above all and through all and made all. Hallelujah. It takes people living in the blue, the revelation of heaven, heaven invading our earthen lives, which we so amply heard this morning by Paul. If you get a chance to go on the podcast, please listen to Paul Lanham's teaching this morning. I think it'll do you very well. Matthew 7, 8, crowds were filled with amazement. Matthew 8, 27, they were filled with amazement because of what he did with the storm. He calmed the winds and the waves. Matthew 9, 33, Jesus casts out a demon and the multitudes marveled because nothing had ever happened like that. No one ever seen a demon cast out. Do you know, I reckon there's people in this congregation tonight, in this crowd tonight, you've never seen a demon cast out. That's all going to change in the days ahead, everybody. I don't know if you've been around. I don't know if you've, like, doing life out there, but there's a lot of demons out there. I don't know, you know, you don't have to go far. Like, go to work. Go to school. Go to the grocery store. Hey, cut somebody off by mistake. You're going to see a few demons. We need to see the awe of God restored in the ministry of deliverance again. Going to happen. Going to see it more and more. Hallelujah. Matthew 15, 31. So the people were amazed to see the dumb speaking and the maimed with their hands perfect, the lame walking and the blind seeing. Hallelujah. I want to see more of that through our lives, through this ministry, out of this church, out of our doors. Matthew 21, 20. The disciples saw it and marveled. How did the fig tree immediately, it says, wither? We're going to see immediate miracles. Not time-lapse miracles. I like time-lapse miracles. I like any kind of miracle, man. Process, he wants to use medicine or zapping people with some radio. Good, fine, awesome. But I want to see immediate. Here's a plug for Fiji. Come to Fiji. If you've never seen miracles again that God used through your hands, come. I'm telling you, I'm saying by faith. God is so good. But you know what? It's not about Fiji either. Come in the presence of God. Come willing. Come willing to be stirred in the awe of God and see him do it in Nambour through your hands and see him do it in Maroochydore. See him do it in Kiwana and Noosa and beyond. It's a God thing. It's a God lifestyle to stand in the awe. And it's okay you don't got it all figured out and you don't know how it happened and the person's eye just formed in their eye socket. Now they can read. We had a young boy I prayed over in a place called Utu in Fiji. I went in April. We prayed over him. I got witnesses. Here we are. I got witnesses in the crowd. This happened. We go back in August, and they tell me the kid that was nuts is now sane, going to school, functioning like a proper kid. When did it happen? Immediately after. Immediately started to, and he was done. They were amazed at this immediate fig tree happening that it immediately withered when Jesus spoke. Mark 5, 42. We have a 12-year-old little girl involved in this amazing ministry of Jesus. And it says they were amazed with great amazement. I didn't even know if there's degrees of amazement. Now we got degrees of amazement. I can't even say the word. I'm getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. Let's take another drink. Don't worry, it's water. So, our passion, can I say, what are the keys to getting back to the awe of God or starting the awe of God? Can I say, that it starts with hunger. God honors hunger in our life for Him. Passion, a desire. And can I say that pride is the biggest killer of marvel? I submit to you that I'm part of this whole problem called church. And in the church, we have this problem. We're not living in awe because we have too much pride. That's a big word. That's a hard word. But I believe it's a true word. To become childlike, you can't have pride. Especially when you're in your 40s and 60s and 70s and 20s. And, you know, we did school. We've graduated. Hey, come on. Be reasonable. Can I say that Christianity is not sensible and it's not reasonable, taking from my pastor's previous message years ago? What was the other quote? I don't know. It's all that stuff. Yeah. When I write a book, I'll put your quote in it. We'll go together. It'll be great. Hey? But that's the thing, is that Christianity, dude, ain't nice. It's truth. That's all the holy cows that are falling. Careful where you step. Everybody, I don't know if you know it, but we're in a crusade. We didn't call this one. It's been called on us. Calling all believers to your knees. And God wants to restore an awe. He wants to restore an amazement in the body of Christ because of what He wants to do through our lives to win our future brothers and sisters out of Islam. Our future brothers and sisters who are now not, but will be, because they will come out of Islam. Well, what's going to draw that? What's going to happen here where the amazement of God, the marvel of God is filling and in a part of our journey? And can I say it's to be childlike? Can I say that it takes humility to see the marvel of God? Pride is the killer of the amazement where we can stand in the awe of God. Love enables humility to take place. Love enables us to be humble so that true love actually erases individuality. Individuality is a killer to the awe of God. It's not about the man or the woman. It's about the God of the man or the woman. It's not about a man's ministry. It's not about the name and lights. It's not about the YouTube hits. True love enables us to walk humbly before our God, knowing that it only relies on God, and He uses every believing believer for His glory, so that we cooperate to see the awe and marvel of God released in our ranks like never before. That's what God intends. Can I say that's what's going to happen? That's what's going to happen. I'm going to say that this fast that we're going to start February 1st, whether you fast food and negativity and anything else, there is something special on this fast this year. Now, there's every year. But I feel like God is getting us ready to get rid of some things, connect with Him, the person of Jesus, like never before. And I think we're going to marvel at what He's going to do within us and with outside of us. Mark it on your calendar, February 1st to the 22nd. Get involved in releasing the awe of God. In Luke chapter 8, we have three amazing accounts where Jesus moves in power and awe is released. Again, remember I said that I think there's a correlation between Luke 8 and March 8th. I believe that this is a year of fruitfulness like we have not seen in recent decades, if ever. I believe that this is a year of breakthrough. Now, I've heard there's a year of breakthrough before and the year before, but I believe that we're into something, and I believe that the heavens show we're into something with the blood moons and different things, the Shemitah and all sorts of different things, I think, correlate naturally that God uses. Remember I said, he uses signs and symbols, he uses weather, he uses patterns and celestial phenomena to show timelines. I believe that in Luke chapter 8, we see that Jesus calms the storm, and it says they marveled. They were in awe at that the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus. He goes on and he ministers to the demoniac. This is an amazing account of what I believe we're going to start to see in the days we're living. I believe we're going to see mental illness healed at an alarming rate where we haven't seen any movement before. Now, we went to Fiji this last time, and in Nandi, every team, I try to go to orphanage, we try to go to a school, we try to go to a village, we try to go on the streets, we try to feed the homeless, we try to minister to the prostitute and churches and... But one of the things we do is we go to the hospital. And on this last trip, half of the waiting room left healed. Half the waiting room gone. Bye-bye. Doctors just pulling our team. Here, can you pray for this? We have no idea what to do here. We don't know anything to do. You know. We've seen amazing things. I'm going to just go out on a limb here. I'm going to tell you there's going to be a time when groups of people will go to the Nambour Mental Health Clinic and hospital, and it'll wipe out all of the patients because they'll be in the right mind, in their right being. And I believe some of you are going to be involved in that. Jesus ministers to this demoniac where it says there was times where they had to chain this dude, and he broke his chains. He was uncontrollable. He had a legion of demons around, filling, controlling, manipulating, humiliating his life, cutting himself, totally naked, out of his right mind and thinking. And it says in verse 34, when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they see what happens, they fled and told the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened. There's this marvel that stirred because this one man is so transformed. Then they came and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were terrified. Can I say, when the power of God demonstrates, it's not all warm fuzzies and not everybody understands and stands in marvel, they stand in fear. I believe we're going these days. I believe where there's great glory, there's demonstration and power that's explainable and not. A guy named Mordecai Ham, who actually influenced Billy Graham. They'd have to have 5 or 6 ambulances at his meetings because that many people drop dead under the presence of God and were not raised from the dead. It brought such a holy fear, they say you could cut it with a knife if you had one. These people were terrified. Terrified at the supernatural, miraculous power that Jesus demonstrated and put a guy in his right mind that everybody knew. And if you go on, it says, and those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Why do we need the awe of God? Because the awe of God stimulates people to share the awe of God they've encountered. This guy actually becomes the first missionary to Decapolis. You'll find that the disciples go back and there's a thriving ministry that's happening ahead of them. Guess who it is? It's the former demoniac who has shared his testimony with awe that others have grabbed on to the testimony of Jesus. Can I say that one of the things that we need to understand is that our testimony is not just a testimony. The testimony that we have is a powerful tool used to stimulate the awe of God in people's lives. It's very important that you share what Jesus has done with your life with those who knew you when you were little, when you were a stoner, when you were a drunk, when you were a wife beater, when you were clueless, when you were a rat bag, when you got kicked out of school. Those people that surrounded your life or you interact with at those points of life need to see the marvel of God for themselves at the transformation done by you. That's what this guy does. He shares the awe stance that he has received with others, bringing more awe into the lives of people. Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives, even unto death. I'm going to tell you, I think that living our lives even unto death, there is a correlation with, yeah, we're not afraid to be a martyr, but this other thing is, we're not afraid of fear of man. We're not afraid of a loss of reputation. There's a death experience that happens when we share Jesus. And there's times when people get afraid of us. We freak them out. There's no grid for them. They don't like us. There's those people that hear God's voice. There's those people that obey Jesus and they get favor. And they get things that happen for them. They freak me out, man. I remember that my wife said to me, I was just sharing with my new neighbor. He said to me, what happened, man? Why did you go to Fiji? That's the second time I met him. I said, I heard the audible voice of God, bro. Probably not the time to put that in the conversation. Second time. He kind of looked at me. Oh, no. What? My wife says, just go easy next time. Ah, I liked him. I wanted to connect. We're good mates. We just watched the game together. We're going out together a little bit, and I pray that he becomes my brother in Christ very soon this year. The next encounter in this same Luke 8 is in verse 56, and it's Jairus' daughter. Amazing point of contact. Jairus comes to him. And he's saying, look, you got to help my daughter. And all of a sudden, the woman with the issue of blood touches him, and he feels virtue go from him. Who did that? And then he turns back to, okay, we got this little girl to deal with. Goes back, and they ridicule Jesus. They actually laugh at him because he says, no, dude, relax, you're just sleeping. They're laughing at him. So he takes the people who have faith into the room. They pray. And it says very clearly that her parents are amazed that she's raised from the dead. I could title this whole chapter the Book of Amazement. That God goes around Jesus on the face of the earth stimulating people in an amazed state. God wants to restore the awe of God. He wants to release heaven to a more impacting degree in our life and through our life. He really does. He wants to release more of heaven, more of the presence, more of the glory, more of the anointing, more of who he is in and through our life. Can I encourage you? Don't be afraid of that. It's something that's going to change us for the better, but it's also going to change others. The awe of God, the marvel of God, is something that's going to be, I believe, constant in the last days. I believe you're just going to have to be blind in every capable way spiritually to miss Jesus. Because there's going to be so much demonstration. It's already happening. 20,000 Chinese a day. A day. I just talked to the lovely couple my wife went to school with, the woman, Tina, and Josh, her husband. She's been there 17 years. I was just talking to him about what are you seeing and what's going on, and he said it's increasing. The number of people increasing. We need serious teaching. We need serious grounding, but people are getting saved at a staggering rate in China. We're living this now, everybody. This is not prophesied to happen in 2017. We're seeing it, and it's increasing. I have never had a time over the holidays when so many people who are unchurched, unconnected to God, whatever, just asking simply love questions. Just begging me to give them the story. Subway, Swiss Bakery, the grocery store. Phone calls from a friend of a friend who gave me the number and I ministered to him once and you don't know me. Can you just share with me how much Jesus loves me? Are you kidding? See, I think in times past, we think we're going to have to generate. We're going to have to run around like JoJo the bunny that forgot his brain to psych ourselves up in some way. But can I tell you, there's a release from heaven that no man dictates. There's a release coming from heaven that man's not pushing the button, God's pushing the button. But what does his heart good is Proverbs 25:2. It says, it is the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the glory of a king to search it out. I use this a lot in prophetic ministry training. But can I say it's actually believing believer training. We're called to be kings and priests. The way we can be kingly is to be hungry more for Jesus and the things of God. And we need to ask, Lord, I want more hunger for you. It's a good prayer. It's a wise prayer. Because there's going to be a culmination of the church's hunger and God pushing the button of release. And that's going to be an amazing day because no man's seen this day. It's just going to exponentially be that amazing, and it's just going to continue until the day of the Lord's return. We're looking for that day. But I have a part to play in this. I got to want. Fasting is an amazing thing because what do? We deny our natural craving for certain things, either positive or negative in our life. And there's a denying. And there's a death that takes place. New habits are formed. It's amazing. You can hear God clearly, more clear than you did when you first started when you fast and pray. I believe that, you know, God's trying to get our attention at Flame Tree. There's these points of reference that are all hitting at the same time. And God's saying, hey, you got eyes to see, you got ears to hear. Hey, do you have a heart that's desiring? Do you got a hunger? You stir it up? Hey, do you feel the urgency to get on board with me? Well, all he's asking for us is to be a person that says yes. Not to run around so that the sweat of our brow shows them we're ready. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a heart issue that Paul talked about. I'm talking about a position that says, hey, I just want more. I do want more. And sometimes my emotions don't say I want more, but my heart, I know what my heart needs. I need more of him. I need a passion. I need a desire. And here's the great thing about God. As soon as I'm like, he's there, man. I don't even have to get all the words out. He just wants to stimulate his awe. And the great thing is, I can't wait to be surprised. Freaked out, like my weatherman friend. In everyday life. Not at natural snow thunder, but at the glory of God released in people's lives, at the salvation that takes over, the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes over, desire for water baptism, desire for the word, desire for communion and community, for a desire for people just to want more. I'm just looking at my friends over here. I don't want to embarrass them, but what we just did water baptism over the holiday break at Cotton Tree. It was just such an amazing, I probably could have won the Academy Award. Probably. I think I could have. Because I was acting real cool. But I was just in awe that we're at Cotton Tree and people are like looking and we're at the restaurant and people coming over. That was great. You know, a little bit of a clap. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is like John the Baptist stuff. All right. Come on. Where's the, It's just amazing. Yeah, I was in awe. I know I played it cool. Yeah, I know you guys went away saying, yeah, PD's cool. I'm not that cool. I was in awe. I was like in shock. I'm like, I'm standing, my head got burned because this idiot standing in front, talking to him about Jesus more in the sun, getting the shade. I was shocked. I was overwhelmed in the moment. It was just so wonderful that his presence was there. And we want to be childlike. And so our response, because there is a demand for response tonight. This is not a nice church service. Christianity ain't nice anymore. There's a response. We have a responsibility to at least contemplate a response. What's my response? Yes, that's a good response. More, Lord. Childlike, humility, testimony. Go, Lord, give me more. I want a testimony, but I don't want a testimony from 7 years ago to be my last testimony. I want a testimony. What's my testimony yesterday? And I want it so that's old news. I want to share with you what happened today, man. I want to share with you what happened today. I need fresh bread. This is God's bakery, man. He ain't passing out old moldy loaves. This is God's bakery in here. Fresh manna every day. Fresh manna. Hallelujah. A revelation of who he is and where a people stand in the awe of the one who gives so much beyond measure. Yeah, let's be dangerous tonight. If you want to respond to this word in some way, you just say, yeah, I want more. Look, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it sounds like, okay? I don't have this scripted out. But I'm going to ask you just to stand where you're at. Just stand where you're at as a response to, yeah, you know what? I need to respond to this word. I need to do something with this. I just want the more. I want to be that childlike individual. I don't know. Can I say we don't have all of our points mapped out tonight. It's not the 6 steps to nirvana or the 4 steps to bliss. There's a lot of steps I missed, I'm sure. God will give us revelation. But I know it's a heart thing. So however you want to posture yourself as you stand, hands up, hands crossed, hands folded, hands to receive, hands to extend out, I don't care. Eyes closed, eyes open, I don't really mind. I don't think God does either in this moment. Because he sees beyond the exterior. He sees in the interior of your heart. He He sees the interior of my heart. He sees people that are looking for spiritual thunder snow. He's seeing a people who understand, yeah, there's been some rare moments in my life, but I want it to be common. I want it to be not common where I don't have marvel, but I'd love to have more of the supernatural presence of God available to my life and to connect with. I'd love to have more opportunity to share this testimony of Jesus in my life. We mentioned this morning, silver became commonplace. It lost its value. I'm not talking about that. I believe that Jesus is stirring a church where if we saw miracles every second of the day, I believe we won't be like the disciples who actually turned their hearts to be jaded. Right after a miracle happened, they turn and despise. That's a heart issue. I believe that there's a church in the last days that's dealing with the heart issues, that we can stay childlike, where we actually stay in a position that if he were to bless us and bestow upon us miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, after healing, after salvation, after baptism, after connection with God's plan in people's lives, we would stay in marvel of him. I believe for that. Father God, whatever way, whatever sign, whatever expression, whatever sensation or manifestation, Lord, you desire to release, we say yes. But we just want a heart that's yielded to you. We want to be awestruck believing believers. May we have more opportunity to see you show up and show off, to show your glory. That, Lord, these timelines, whether accurate or missed, Lord, you're the God of all. Whether it's March 8th or June 10th, or November 1st, I know this, that you are going to outpour like never before. I know that there's going to be revival in every nation. I believe there's a kindred and a tribe, a tongue, going to be represented from every place on earth. Lord, I believe that you have a desire to use us in this room in whatever way to see the manifested glory of God through our life. Lord, would you do it? Would you just download it? Would you outpour it? Would you allow us to be childlike and innocent, Lord God, and give you glory? Can we enjoy you and give testimony of the glory of Jesus? Lord, let it be. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you hug somebody, give someone a high five, encourage them as they go through their week in a posture of the awe of God. God bless you. We'll see you this week. Don't forget, the 23rd and 24th is the conference.